epistle of 1 John in the first chapter. In verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also might have, or may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I've been all over the place seeking what to preach. And this verse, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I've never seen a time in my lifetime where there's so many unhappy Christians. Amen. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word's not in us. What I want to speak to you tonight about is fellowship. Fellowship, a lot of people gets out of fellowship. In some churches, they even teach they're lost when they're out of fellowship. I'll never forget, I preached a message on this order at a church I pastored a few years ago. And a sister came out the door, and I preached on the difference in sonship and fellowship. Sonship never changes. Fellowship does. And as she came out the door, she said, I never heard that before in my life. Well, I knew she heard it audibly because I'd preached it. But it's the first time she ever really heard it. And children, no matter how much you have grown in grace and knowledge of the Lord, fellowship is an important thing in our lives. These old depraved bodies that we live in are 100% contrary to the things that's written in this book about how a child of God is supposed to live. Fellowship is companionship, friendly association, mutual sharing is experience, activity, a group of people with the same interests like this church here. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light, Now, you can read here in verses 6 and 7. I might be getting ahead of myself, but it won't hurt to repeat it twice. Anyway. In this scripture, you can walk in the light and you can walk in the darkness. But here in my text verse, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What Brother Jerry read there in 1 Corinthians 13 about charity, love, if you have the right kind of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to have any problems with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. That we might have fellowship. Look, if you will, at verses 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Think a minute with me. When the Lord sought you out and brought you to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit had you under conviction, you was the most miserable person that ever lived in this world. And just as quick as the work was done, that burden was lifted. Amen. And that guilt was gone.
Amen, Amen.
For the first time in your life, you were free.
Yes.
And happy as you could be.
Amen.
Why aren't we like that today?
Amen.
We've grown in grace and knowledge of the Lord. We can tell people a lot more about the Scriptures. But have we grown in love? Have we grown where it really counts? You know, the Lord taught me a real lesson several years ago. Brother Bomber had come and see me, and he thought I was going to die, and he'd get to preach my funeral, but he didn't get to preach it. And I'm still preaching. But it looked like I was going to leave. Brother Bomber knows that. I knew the doctrines of grace. I knew all about the Lord's church. I knew about the sovereignty of God. But I know this now, children, that every person that you look in the eyes of is dealing with some kind of problem in life.
Amen.
And there's not a way in the world to help them if you don't have the love of God in your heart and love them.
Amen.
You can't help a person you don't love.
Right. Amen.
Turn over, if you will, in 2 John. The Epistle of 2 John. Pardon me. Look at verse 1. It says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all that they have and known the truth, all they that have known the truth." Now look at verse 2. "For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever." Remember Brother Harvey preaching a message on the truth's sake? We love each other for the truth's sake. Look, if you will, at verse 4. He says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. You can't walk in the truth without the love of God in your heart. You can't walk in the truth and be out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother. Right.
So here, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now look at this, verse 6 down through 11. And this is love, same epistle. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. There's some people who won't turn down my driveway. I've stopped them 7 years ago. When someone comes down my driveway, I'm talking about the one that went to Calvary and shed his precious blood.
Amen.
To pay my sin debt. And deny that He is the virgin-born Son of God. I don't want nothing to do with Him. But what people think, they think by talking to them that they can convert some of these Charles Taz Russell followers. If they ever saved, it'll take the Lord to save them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've preached to a lot of them. But I'm not preaching to them in my driveway. Now look what it says in verse 11. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed. Do not catch this fellow. I patting those guys on the back and say, bless you.
Right. Right.
No way. They're enemies of the cross. We live in a day and time, and I guess you know your pastor real well. I get in trouble a lot of times just saying what I mean. I can't find real easy words to say no. And you know, the day and time that we live in, I'll tell you, some of these places that's called churches, everything in the world's going on. I love what I do. I've got some of the most faithful people I've ever seen in my life. In a mission.
Amen.
And I can't understand them. Why even come listen to me? But they're there every time. And I thank the Lord for it. Fellowship has to do with the believer's communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sonship remains the same. I was born in the Asbury family the first time. That'll never be changed. When I was born again, I was born into the family of God.
Amen.
That'll never be changed.
Amen.
Nobody can change that.
Right.
That we might have joy. I've never seen a happy Christian that wasn't an effective Christian. In witnessing and talking to people about the Lord. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." I believe God wants His people to be happy. There in 1 John chapter 2, that we might not sin. I'm afraid, children, that what I'm around and what I see, I know that what it took to save me, it took the power of God. Here I was dead in trespass and sins. Well, it took a power greater than myself to bring me alive. Well, when He brought me alive, He moved in.
Amen.
If He is strong enough to bring me alive and me rebelling against what He was doing, and then He moved in, looks to me like He'd have control over me.
Amen. Amen.
But what I see people are giving too much to this right here that we were every day. The Lord, we know the sin problem as far as our sins being gone, they're gone. And I know the person that lives inside of me, he reveals sin, and he has the power to me to live a victorious life.
Amen.
Right here in this world. First John chapter 2, verses 1 down through 6. You know I like how John's writing, "You're my little children." Sounds to me like he loved.
Amen.
"My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous."
Amen.
"And He is the propitiation of our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the world, whole world.
Amen.
And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandment. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar."
Amen.
"And the truth's not in Him." A lot of Sovereign Grace Baptists, they act like there's no responsibility for the way they live. If they're saved, they haven't stood before the judgment seat of Christ yet. It's going to come out. Verse 5, "But whosoever keepeth his words, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. I don't have to have anybody tell me I'm saved. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. The penalty of sin is taken care of when the sinner is brought to the place that he knows Jesus. The Bible in John chapter 5 and verse 24. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me, hath." He's already got it. "Everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." My God loves me.
Amen.
I can't be condemned. My sin debt has been taken care of.
Amen, brother.
But I can sure hang my head in shame when it comes to my service at the judgment seat of Christ. The power of sin over daily life is another matter. Look at verse 10. You're in first John. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his words are not in us. Paul, writing to Timothy, he said, "This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptations. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief."
Amen. Amen.
You're looking at a sinner tonight, saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
But you're also looking at a sinner that has a desire to try to live a life that my neighbors, my family, my loved ones might see that there's a difference.
Amen.
In knowing the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The 13th of last month, I lost the only brother I had left. I was hunting with him the night, Monday night before, Friday night that they found him. Found him in the bed dead. We were sitting by a fire we had, and he was telling them about the insurance he had when he... Something happened to me, but I guess the Lord was just having him to tell me these things. And I said, "Brother, that's good. But you better know for sure where you're going." I've never missed nobody as much in my life as my brother. It hurt. Still hurts. But you know what makes it a little sweeter to me? Every day I'm getting closer to leaving here.
Amen.
I'm going to go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ before long.
Amen.
John explains how the Christian may have a life of victory over sin. You say, "Well, you sound like one of them Pentecostals." No. No way. Look at verse 8 and 9 here in verse chapter 1, your first John. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. And I believe, children, that the Holy Spirit that indwells us will cause us to do what the next verse says.
Amen,
nobody has to tell me when I'm sinning and going contrary to the Word of God.
Amen.
God lets me know that right then.
Amen.
If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. I know what justification means as well as anybody. I know how God looks at me. But I also know that His blood just keeps right on cleansing me.
Amen. Amen.
Cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
There's another one of us here tonight that can say that we don't need cleansed.
Amen.
That we might overcome error. Look at chapter 2, here, verse 26 down through 29. These things that I've written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. I know that we have teachers, we have preachers, that teaches the Word of God. But when they're teaching, it takes the Holy Spirit to teach us.
Amen. Amen.
And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him and His coming. I think we could be looking for His coming. We should be looking for His coming. If ye know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. And I'll tell you what, children, you won't be bragging on your own righteousness. You'll be bragging on the imputed righteousness,
amen,
perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
John was facing false teachers of his day, just as we face false teachers today. Turn with me back just a little bit. I want to read a few verses here in 2 Peter in chapter 2. Second Peter, chapter 2. I want us to read verse 1 down through 12. In 2 Peter, chapter 2, it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow after their pernicious way, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of long time lingereth not, but their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the whole world but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. We know about Noah. We also know what happened to him when he came off the ark. And here we, as children of God, sometimes we think of the sovereignty of God and we're not made to realize what a sinful, corrupt body that we live in. Bringing in the blood upon the world of the unrighteous. Here's something that always bothered me. Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Condemned them with an overthrow. Making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot vexed with the filthy conversations of the wicked. Now look at this. I hope and pray that no one here tonight is in this condition. For that righteous man dwelling among them, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I don't believe that a child of God can hang around the devil's crowd and listen to some of this ungodly talk and see him practice some of these ungodly deeds and be happy in the Lord. Lot wasn't. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust in the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them to walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise government. For in selfishness are they, self-will, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But look what it says in verse 12. But these are natural brutes, brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. Speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Yeah. Children, this book I'm reading, it doesn't have fillers in it. Yeah. This is God's Word. Yeah. And I don't think sometimes that people take these things serious enough.
Right. Yeah.
I wish he was around me a little bit. Brother Bomber knows him real well. I've got a boy that's 41 year old that's got CP. He's autistic. He watches every move I make. I hope when the Lord doesn't take me up in the rapture. I hope when he walks by and they're going to plant me, that when he comes by, no matter if he's shaking his hands or whatever he's doing with his CP, that he can say, I never heard my dad say a bad word in his life. I want to be like that.
Amen.
He watches me, but thanks be to God, I'm watching out for him too.
Amen.
My responsibility, this book I'm reading to you tonight, tells me how to live before my family. How to treat my wife, my children. How to take care of them. And try to teach them the Word of God. Seems like those days are gone. These false teachers were teaching that Christ only appeared to be a real man. That knowledge of, and they were teaching that knowledge of truth is more important than living the truth. And that sounds like today, doesn't it? That only a spiritual few could understand spiritual truth. All Christians have an unction from God and go know the truth. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One and ye know all things. And then that we might have assurance. You know, how long have I talked, brother? There was a man in the hospital, it's been 8 or 10 years ago. Brother Crispy, meaning, remembers him, Elwood Lawson. A member of the church that we had discipline, he's in the hospital. I go see him and I stop in to see Elwood. And I gave Elwood one verse of scripture to remember, try to memorize. And it's 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. It says in this verse of scripture, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Amen. Every time I go see the brothers in the hospital, I go by and see Elwood. All I'd ask him, I said, "Lord, save you, you know." "No, Brother Asbury has." One morning when I walked into the room, he's crying like a baby. He said, "Brother Asbury, Lord, save me this morning."
Amen.
That scripture got the meaning of something to him right here. I wanted him to know. I knew. And I don't want anyone. And I even say this sometimes in the invitation. If the Lord's not dealing with you, please don't come up here. Because you're going to mess things up if you come up here.
Amen.
I want you to look here in the Gospel of John. God tells us about the new birth. A lot of people don't believe this, though. I've heard these so-called Baptists quote John 1:12. They say, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name." And they stopped right there. Which were born.
Amen.
Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Amen.
Sure messes up this Arminianism, doesn't it? And then you go over in John 3, and it talks about the wind. I thought about that and this sister was singing. I also thought, some of these Armenians are pretty windy. They can blow up a pretty good storm. Now let's look at a few verses here and I'll close. Here in 1 John. In the epistle of 1 John, look at chapter 3 and verse 9. "Whosoever is born to God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him and remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Hey, children, what's in here cannot sin. What moved in here can't sing it. What I have a problem with is out here.
Amen.
Thank God I know the difference.
Amen.
Amen. And then in John, 1 John chapter 4, verses, and if you don't agree with me on that, that's sad. I feel sorry for you. I'm not going to change my mind. Chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. First shot. We of God. He that knoweth God, you of us. He that it is not of God, heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Amen. Amen.
I don't have to say anything about that. It explains itself.
Right.
Look at chapter 5, verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That faith just keeps us, enables us to keep reaching out there. And laying a hold of the Word of God that's able to take these old bodies and control them. Now look at chapter 5. I like how this ends. Look at verse 18. He says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even His Son, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now look where He ended this. Little children, keep yourself from idols.
Amen.
Serve the Lord. Amen. Serve the Lord.
Amen.
Glad I got to preach to you.
Amen. Amen.